ओम शांति।
सो इट्स वेरी एक्साइटिंग टुडे टू डिस्कस विद यू। फ्रॉम लास्ट फ्यू वीक्स ऑल्सो वी आर डूइंग द कोर्स ऑफ रेनन्सिएशन बाय रिसीविंग अस अ वीकली कोर्स ऑफ रेनन्सिएशन 7-day कोर्स ऑफ रेनन्सिएशन। सो टुडेज मुरली इज लिटिल डायवर्शन फ्रॉम दैट कोर्स ऑफ रेनन्सिएशन। Last time Baba said that he will be telling us in detail about complete renunciation. Probably he is going to tell us on 23rd July of this month. What is complete? Who is complete renunciate? So today, as I said, there is a little diversion from the topic which is going on. And today is Baba talking about, quote, Baba is talking about divine intellect. Baba is talking about different types of crowns. Baba is talking about different types of children. And he met teachers, he also met Kumaris. So I'll begin with a very short story. This story is about Lord Buddha. He left his palace, his family, and he returned back after a gap of 12 years. So now, Lord Buddha, Mahatma Buddha, when he was enlightened, now he returned back to his own place, to his own kingdom, from where he had gone. When he had left his wife Yashodhara, his son was just 1 day old. And now he is coming back. And at the time of leaving his home, he did not tell his wife that I am going. He just left without informing anybody. So now when he returned back, naturally Yashodhara was very angry. And she asked him 3 questions. And this is for the first time in 12 years after enlightenment that Lord Buddha was calm. He couldn't answer any one of her questions. So her first question, which made him silent, was, if you had informed me, do you think that I would have stopped you? I know that you wanted to take sannyas. Now I understand that you wanted to realize the truth. But do you think right now that if you had asked me this question, that I want to go, do you think that I would have stopped you? I am Kshatrani. We are those queens, we are those princes, we are those women who give a tilak to their husbands when they go on a battle. So do you think that I would have stopped you? So for the first time Lord Buddha is silent. He has no answer to give. Second question. You went in search of truth. You left your palace to get the truth. Now you got the truth. My question to you is, if the truth that you got, was it not possible to get the same truth here without renouncing, without leaving this place? And Lord Buddha couldn't answer, because now after realizing the truth, after enlightenment, he knows that truth can be found anywhere. It is not necessary that truth is somewhere in the jungle. Truth is here also. So again he was silent. Third question. She brings her son, Rahul, in front of Lord Buddha and tells him what legacy you have left for him. What inheritance you are going to give to this child now. What you have become a monk. You have become a sannyasin. You are carrying a begging bowl. You are moving from place to place. When you left, you did not even think once of this child, who was just 1 year old. And now he is 12 year old. What are you going to give him? No, this is the question that made Mahatma Buddha speak. And after remaining silent for first 2 questions, he spoke. He said, he held his hand and he handed him his begging Babaji. And he said to him that, this is the inheritance, this is the legacy that I am going to give him. Because what I got is something beyond this world. And I don't think that anything is greater than this begging bowl. And he initiates his son into sannyasa. His father, Shuddhodan, he says, first you left and now this was the only hope of this family, of this kingdom, and you are making him a sannyasi. What will happen to this kingdom? And who will take care of this kingdom? And what will happen to me? So Buddha says, I am also giving you the legacy. And he also hands him over another begging bowl. And his father also turns into sannyasi. And his wife says, now what will happen to me? And she says, I cannot live alone like, and now initiate me also into this sannyasi. So when I was reading this story, how far this is true, I don't know. Even Rabindranath Tagore, in one of his poems of Gitanjali, he has made a passing reference. But he couldn't answer all these questions. He has said that he had devised an imaginary poem where Buddha is coming back and Yashodhara is asking him all these questions, and Buddha couldn't answer any one of them. So this is a little extension of that poem, and somebody has expanded it. So I was just thinking about this poetry or this story. It is like there is a jail, okay, and somebody has got out of the jail and he has realized some freedom. He has realized, he has got the glimpse of that freedom, and now he comes back into the prison, okay, and those who are prisoners, they are telling him, so how beautiful this is, see how beautiful that is, would you like to come back? Now, because he has seen the truth, now because he has seen the ultimate, because he has seen, because he has tasted that freedom, that independence, that divine knowledge, that divine intelligence, he cannot come back to this world. No matter how much they force him, no matter how much temptation they give him, no matter whatever the situations are, now his only desire is to free everyone who is in the prison. That's why here Buddha has realized the highest, and the highest could be realized only with the sort of renunciation he had done. And he wants now this renunciation, this gift of renunciation should be given to everyone. Because otherwise they are conditioned, because they are caught up in this prison, they should come out of it. He got divine intelligence. So he wants to give that gift of divine intelligence to everyone. He doesn't want those people should remain in that prison for long. So this is a divine desire in his heart. In today's Murli, Baba has raised a very pertinent point. Baba said, you have got an instrument. And which is that instrument? Instrument of divine intellect. With that instrument, how to use it, when to use it, where to use it, you must know. Because once you've got this instrument, now your goal is to use it. You must know the timing of using it. You must know the methodology of using this. Using what? Divine intellect. And here, as the example of Buddha, he got that divine intellect. Earlier it was a materialistic intellect. Earlier it was a worldly intellect. Earlier it was a mundane intellect. Now he has risen above and he has got that divine intellect. And with that divine intelligence, he could see this world as a place of sorrow and suffering. And the root cause of this sorrow and suffering is worldly desire. And that's why he now wants that everyone should come out of it. So that was the vision, that was the gift, that was the state of his mind after achieving enlightenment, after achieving that divine intellect. So in today's Murli also, Baba has said that you, all of you, have got divine intellect. And with that divine intellect, now you can see what is your position and what is your number in that court of Satyug. Here Baba is talking today, Bhaktadatta is seeing three types of children. Those who are Rajya Adhikari, those who have got right to this kingdom, those who are claiming right to this kingdom. Second, Rajya Sahyogi, those who are cooperating in the formation of, in the establishment of this kingdom. Those who are Rajya Darbari, those who are carrying out the activities of that kingdom. Rajya Darbari, Rajya Adhikari and Rajya Sahyogi. So Bhaktadatta is seeing these three types of children today. And he is seeing court, Darbar, this court and that court. While he sees this court, he is also reminding you of that court. Which court? Golden Age. So there are two types of courts. One is confluence edged court and another is golden edged court. What is the difference between two? This is the point of chanting, and even Baba has asked this question in the movie. What is the difference between this court and that court? This Darbar and that Darbar. This is of Brahmins and those are deities. This court is the foundation of future court. That was the point Baba has said. In that court, the most important thing is God is not there. In this court, God is sitting. In that court, they are all wearing colorful dresses. Here you are wearing dresses of self-respect. There they are wearing ornaments, jewelries. Here you are wearing ornaments and jewelries of virtues, of powers. There you have double crown. Here also you have double crown. But there is a difference between these double crown and that double crown. Deities, they wear double crown. One, gross, which is made up of diamonds and golds and jewels and gems. And another, light. Here, you also have double crown. But here, the crown is of, double crown is of one of light. That suggests your angelic form. Other light is, other crown is responsibility of unlimited service. For world benefit, for world benefaction. So, on this confluence age, we are wearing this double crown. What is the double crown? One of light, another of responsibility. The checking point is, how much my crown is shining? How much I am carrying this, to what extent I am carrying out my responsibility? Which responsibility? World benefaction. That is my responsibility. So one responsibility is to remain light. One responsibility is, one crown is lightness, purity. One crown is lightness of mind, lightness of body. That will come with purity. That will come with practice of self-respect. How much light I remain? If somebody is given some responsibility, while carrying out that responsibility, he becomes heavy. So that is not the stage of lightness. Even whilst you are very much busy, you should remain light within. That is the stage of a yogi. Yogi is always light, no matter how much responsibility he is given, no matter how hectic his schedule is. He is always light within. So then only we would be called to have double light. So double light. Then what are other differences between this court and that court? Canopy. Here Baba is canopy. There we have a gross canopy. Then this is the basis, this is the foundation of getting into that court. Okay. One more thing. Here God is sitting and he is narrating divine knowledge. He is turning us into Trikaldashi. Here we are becoming Swarajya Adhikari. There we would be becoming Vishwarajya Adhikari. Here self sovereignty, there world sovereignty. So that is the difference. What is the difference between this court and that court? Dhamma wakes us in the morning. That's a different thing. Cold, I'm asking.
Cold, cold.
They are incomplete. They are complete. Okay. You want to glorify them? Their degrees are more. Here we have no degrees. This is not a good point. they are sitting in the gross throne. Here you are sitting on the throne of Baba's heart, God's heart. Here you have knowledge of the three worlds. Here you can travel in the three worlds. There you can travel only in one world. You can do a spiritual travel. Here you have gift of divine intellect. Here everybody is having divine intelligence. They are divine foods. Baba said that word. Those deities are divine foods. Here you are divine intellectuals. What intelligence you have? Five types of souls could not realize God, Baba said. First, those who debate scriptures, those Shastravadins. They keep on debating and betting their heads. They keep on debating whether dualism is right, non-dualism is right, whether God is omnipresent or God is some extraterrestrial being, which religion is right, Islam is right or Hinduism is right, Hindutva is right. What is correct? They are fighting among senses, debating scriptures. Christianity is right or Muslims are right. Who is right? This quarrel is going on and on since time immemorial. So, first category of souls who could not realize God. What said you realized Him? You got to know God. You are so loving. You are so innocent. Innocent children of innocent Lord. You realize Him. You are honest children. Those with clever heads could not realize God. So, one homework for everyone is, what is the difference between clever heads and honest hearts? Clever heads, on one side is logic, reason. On another side is feelings, emotions. On one side are mystics. On another side are intellectuals. On one side are philosophers. On another side are devotees. Filled with feelings and emotions. And they don't understand anything more than that. And they are so simple, so innocent. And on another side are intellectuals, philosophers, thinkers, logicians, those who have reason. Baba said, those people, they could not realize God. You realized, so simple of heart. You people realized Him. So, one is this. Those who debate scripture, they could not realize God. Second are, scientists could not realize, because what they are doing? They are busy in their research. Third are politicians. Politicians could not realize. They are busy in their plans. There was once a politician. He once went to give a lecture for his election campaign. And he found that in that village only one person came to hear his lecture. He asked him for advice. Who are you? So that villager said, I am a poor farmer. And I have one principle I want to tell you. If I go to give fodder, chara, to my cows, and if I have 20 cows, but if only one cow is present, I make it a point to feed that cow. So this politician is highly inspired by this speech. And he feels that only one person has come to hear his speech. So he is going to give him 1 hour speech. So he gives a very fiery speech for 1 hour. And after 1 hour, only one person is sitting, that poor farmer. He asked him, how was it? The poor farmer says, I am a poor farmer and I have one principle, which I told you. If I have 20 cows to feed and I have to give them fodder and only one cow is present, I give that one cow food of only one cow, not the food of 20 cows. But what you did was exactly opposite. You gave speech for 1 hour, but I had no way to escape. So this is how politicians are. They are expert in giving fiery speeches, but they have nothing to do with what's happening in their hearts. So these politicians, very difficult for these politicians to realize God. Because the very goal of politicians, the very foundation of politics is ambition. And religious mind is a non-ambitious mind. With lot of worldly ambitions you cannot realize God. So Baba says, politicians could not realize God. Fourth, devotees. They are searching God in particles. In different particles. They are busy because they said that God is everywhere. Wherever you, I see God there. I bow down before everything because everything is God manifest. I see God. He is there in the temple. He is there in human beings. He is there in cats and dogs. Everywhere, everything, this entire world, this entire universe is nothing but manifestation of God. So seeing God everywhere. There is a book, a huge book, Seeing God Everywhere. One is to see God everywhere, another is pantheism, to consider everything as God. That is another concept. Another concept is God is everywhere. These are different concepts in religion and theology. So, this is very difficult. Now, the fifth type of people who could not realize God are great men. Great men. Mahatmas. They could not realize God. Just go back to this century. This is 21st, 20th century. In the 20th century, if we see, so many great people came. But none of them could realize God. The first great man from India who went abroad was, if you start from Swami Vivekananda, because he died in 1902, so he is the first person. Now he propounded theory of Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta, but what theory God is giving is entirely different. So no matter, they were great people, but they could not become child, they could not have that relation of child and father with God. They glorified their gurus, so he was the first guru who went from India. Second, Swami Ramatirtha. If you see his life and his life story, he is a very elevated person. He lived as a fakir. He did not want anything. But he could not realize God because he followed the same. Third, Maheshwari, transcendental meditation. He died recently, 2011. Now this Maheshwari, no doubt he was a very elevated person. He went abroad and he propounded this philosophy of TM meditation, transcendental meditation. He has lakhs and thousands of followers all over the world. Now this is a new system of meditation which came and he devised it, he modified it, and many people have got help because of this. But one thing, always one remember, yoga doesn't mean simply exercises or mantras. They can make you, but they don't make you realize God. So, great men, this. Then, Swami Shivananda, Divine Life Society, Rishikesh. He was also a very great man, but still, he could not make people realize God. Then, Swami Yogananda was another person who went abroad, Kriya Yoga. He taught Kriya Yoga, Yoga the Satsang Society, headquartered at Ranchi. So he is the person who propounded this philosophy of Kriya Yoga from his Guru Yukteswar Giri and so on and so forth. Another person came, Swami Prabhupada, Hare Krishna. Now he went and he started spreading the movement of bhakti everywhere. And he got thousands and thousands and lakhs of followers. Everybody coming on the street and chanting Hare Krishna and Hare Rama. So he introduced a new system. Then Jai Krishnamurti, Jiddu Krishnamurti, he was a very intellectual person. Very intellectual. If you want to understand Krishnamurti, you should have a very high intellect. Then only you can understand his concepts. So Krishnamurti. Then Ramana Maharishi. He was a very great person. But he has written a book, Who Am I? But his all followers keep on chanting the same, Who I am, who I am, who I am. There is no answer. But they keep on chanting the same lecture. Who I am, who I am, who I am, who I am. Answer is Tattvamasi. Who I am, who I am, who I am. Arvinda Maharishi. There is one more person. Then Nirmala Devi. Mataji. Nirmala. She introduced a new concept of Kundalini Jagran. Sahaj Yoga. But she said that you have to keep my photograph. Then she was asked, why your photograph? He said, what can I do? Because your photograph doesn't work, my photograph works. So there is an option. If you want to keep your photograph, you can keep your photograph and that Kundalini Jagran will occur. I will tell you how to do it. Do it. I have seen people have come to me that their photograph is not working. Only my photograph works. So you have to keep my photograph. And that Kundalini Jantan will come. So this time now I have started from 19th century beginning. I am now coming to mid 1950s. Meher Baba. He was mourned. He was calm, silenced, for such a long time. But he declared himself as avatar of God in 50s and 60s. Go further ahead. In 60s, Acharya Rajneesh. Now he is the person who is the most intellectual of everyone. And when he came, he was outspoken. He had a divine voice. He could captivate and hypnotize people. He had such a powerful voice. But he was very straightforward and outspoken. He spoke on many such topics which made him controversial figure in India. But in spite of that, he was highly intellectual. If suppose he had not opposed the existing system, which exists in India, probably he would have become even higher than Vivekananda. Because Vivekananda just brought one person, Sister Nivedita, in India, and he was glorified like anything, while Rajneesh brought so many from outside world into India, but still he was condemned. Still, people follow him, but at the same time, they oppose him. But he could not have any single philosophy to base his knowledge, but he introduced dynamic meditation, dancing and singing and all those things. So that was one figure. And he went abroad in Oregon, and there again there was a lot of criticism, and he was put into prison for 12 days and then released, and one of his own followers deceived him. All those stories are there. Then he came back to India and he died. So that was one figure. But he couldn't realize God. He came to Mount Abu also. He came to Mount Abu in 1971. He had organized his lectures in Mount Abu everywhere. Brahma Kumari sisters had gone to him. But he was very much against on Sindhis. He used to make fun of those Sindhis. So, he had a very divine intellect, but not that intellect to realize God. So he couldn't realize God. Coming further, in the recent times, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, Art of Living, Sudarshan Kriya. But that is more of to do with body rather than to do with God realization. Mata Amritanandaman. She had a lot of following. She is known as Hugging Amma. She hugs everybody. She is known as Hugging Amma. Ramdev Baba. He is also a spiritualist. But he is more into those asanas and everything. Pranayama and all those things. At present also so many are existing. I can go on listing them like anything, but our topic would be left. The crux of the story is that all these are great men, okay? They have very powerful gift of gab, oratory and everything. But still they couldn't realize God. That's why Baba said, these five types of souls could not realize God. You realize God because you had honest heart. And regarding honest heart, Baba told five things. What are the things honest hearts get? First, God belongs to them. Baba gets belong to them. Second, they are seated on the heart throne of Baba. Third, all their heart's wishes, desires of elevated thoughts get fulfilled. And they have Baba's company in all the three forms, Sakari, Akari and Nirakari form. So they get Baba's, they experience Baba's company. So seated in the heart throne belonging to Baba, God remembers them, all those who have honest hearts. So these are the five qualities of honest hearts, Baba narrated. Now going back, we were discussing about the differences of the two codes. The list could be endless, you can go on churning about it. Coming back to now about divine intellect. So Baba said that you have this divine intellect. I was thinking where we have to use this intellect, how we have to use this intellect. Baba said, get stabilized in the seat of Trikaldarshi. And then you use this intellect. Use in deciding, use in discriminating, you need divine intellect to judge, to discriminate, to discern, to use Srimad, to imbibe all the virtues, to understand the knowledge, to explain the knowledge to others, to do service. All these reasons you require divine intellect. Baba says that Baba is saying personality of purity. Baba is saying royalty of spirituality, Baba is in speciality, sparkle of speciality of all the children. Baba is the ornament of speciality. So these are the different words Baba has used in today's English. Okay, now coming back to teacher's 3 points and Kumari's 3 points. Teacher's first point. What is the first point in teachers? Teachers, they keep balance. In some of the Murlis, we had discussed about 16 types of balance. I'm not going to discuss that. Maybe in the evening we will discuss one. Second, teachers, Baba said, they have to create an atmosphere. They have two services to do. One, museum, and second, to create a Shantikund. Because worldly people are so much peaceless. So they need a corner of peace. Baba is not telling us to create a Baba's room. Another room, this is a homework for all the centers. They should create a room which should be called Shantikund. And anybody who comes, who gets an experience of peace there. It's not Baba's room, it's a different room. But it would be very much like Baba's room. But this is a experience. A room for experience. So, create museum, at the same time, have Shantikund. One. Second, teachers, Baba told about holy swans. Holy swans, they pick up virtues, pearls, and not, they give up waste. Okay? So now, when we see waste, we churn waste, we speak waste, atmosphere of waste is created. When we speak waste or churn waste, atmosphere, churn, speaking, creating an atmosphere. So you are making, which is a mustard seed, it becomes a mountain. That's what happened. So better what we are churning and what we are speaking, because that is going into the, we are throwing words into the atmosphere. That we should be careful of the words and what thoughts we have. That is second. Third point, teachers, if they want to become like father, if you want to attain success, they have to become like father. Like, in what reasons? That day we described about the package of purity. All the 21 points of that package will come here. Become like father in thoughts, in words, in deeds. Become like father in connections and relationships. Become like father in your behavior. Become like father in intellect. Become like father in sanskar. Become like father in your body, that he surrendered his body. Become like father in your wealth, surrender your wealth. So this, then become like father in your emotions. Become like father like in your thoughts, in feelings and emotions. Become like father in your memories, in your, what is known as, in your, this, remembrance, memory, remembrance, in your imagination, in your dreams. Become like father in hearing, becoming like father in eating, becoming like father in writing, becoming like father in smelling, whatever, smelling is what, not there, it was hearing, it was eating, it was writing, in everything, all the 6, 5 senses. And one more, becoming like father in vritti, in drishti, in drishtikon, attitude, and become like father in your habits. So these are the 21 points. Of purity, the same would be coming here. So this Baba said about, okay, and last with Kumari, 3 points. First point, study. They have to pay attention to studies, because if they pay attention to study, what will happen? They would be make others study. They would set an example, they would give an experience of that to others, and they should be fulfilled, they should be full with attainment so that they can give the experience. Baba also said about the householder's life, that is like an unlimited jail. You are entering into an unlimited jail, so never even the dreams you should have the thought of entering into a household. That is the first point. Second point about Kumari, a deal. You have struck a deal with father. What is the deal? The deal is, I am yours, and Baba says, I am yours. Yes, Baba again said, do not keep your foot one boat and another is another boat. This he said about here. And third point about Kumari, they are Shakti Swarup. See, here Baba also said that Baba likes those Kumari. If he surrenders, she becomes a teacher. Okay? So, here, in the first paragraph, Baba said, don't consider yourself Kumari. Second, he said, don't think that you are Kumari, but you are teachers. Somewhere he said, don't think you are teachers, but you are servers. But at the last, he said, don't think yourself as a Kumari, don't think yourself as a server, don't think yourself as a teacher. But think yourself as a combined Shakti Swarup. Shiv Shakti Swarup combined. Because if you stay like this, just as the land, so would be the fruit. The similar would be the fruit.
So be powerful so that you can make others powerful. All those who come to you will become powerful. So this is in short about what Baba spoke to Kumari. So he spoke with teachers, he spoke with Kumaris, he described the differences between this quote and that quote. He described the difference between honest heart and clever heads, and then about divine intellect. So you can go on churning about this, okay? Om Shanti.